Acts chapter 12. So in preparing for this, I kind of was scrounging around, couldn't really think of what topic to use, and I realized, well, I've been teaching a class out of Acts, why not use that? So we're going to start in Acts chapter 12 tonight, and this is probably one of my favorite stories from the book so far. This is about when Peter is imprisoned. So we're going to have and start reading in Acts chapter 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some of those who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw this was met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. So here he has James put to death, so the Jews like that, and he wants to really keep the Jews happy here. So why not go take this Jewish superstar gone rogue and execute him too? Get a lot of favor out of that, right? So he goes ahead and arrests Peter, and verse 4, after arresting him, he puts him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for a public trial after the Passover. So, I'm not very good with math, but 4 and 4 is 16. And that's a lot of soldiers to watch just one guy, just one Jewish guy, right? So, in verse 5, we pick up and it says, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. We can see here that the church had already heard of what was happening, and they prayed for him, right? And if we look in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we see that we're praying, one, to God, right? And God isn't one to just halfway do something. In chapter 3, verse 20 of Ephesians, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask for, or even could imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." God doesn't halfway do anything. What he does is way more than we will ever hope and dream for. They would be praying for Paul to be rescued, right? God's going to do that, and he's going to do that more than they could even imagine, in a way they couldn't understand, right? So let's pick up in verse 6 of chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Acts. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, Reese actually made this point, I'm pretty sure it was you, in class. Peter here was sleeping between two soldiers. I don't know if the night before that trial that was supposed to probably put me into death, I don't know if I would be sleeping very well, if at all, right? But here's Peter sleeping. He already trusted God enough that he could sleep between two soldiers. And so, picking up, he was bound to two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrances. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Get up quickly," he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what was happening. What the angel was doing was really happening. So here, an angel comes, and there are two guards here. They can see and hear what's happening, but they don't. They just leave. The angel didn't put them to sleep. He didn't warp Peter out of this. They just walked out of the prison. I don't know if anybody was staging a breakout for me if I was in prison. I don't think we would just walk out. So here God is saying, hey, I'm just going to walk you out of here. They pray for you. I'm going to walk you out of here. And so he does, so much that Peter thinks, oh, this is probably a dream or a vision, right? We've all probably had a fever dream where we do or think something's real happening. I had one, and I woke up, and I thought I just doomed us all, and the whole world was going to end, and I was trying to tell my parents, like, hey, it's okay. And so as a natural, good firstborn child, I start emptying the dishwasher to make sure they think that everything's okay, right? Well, here Peter really doesn't even believe what's happening is happening. So picking up in verse 10, they passed the first and the second guard and came to an iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it, and they had walked the length of one street. Suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel to rescue me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." So not only did God say, "Hey, I'm going to walk you out of this prison," right? He said, I'm going to walk you past the first guard. I'm going to walk you past the second one. I'm going to walk you down the street. And then I'm going to say, hey, you're good. Go. Right? That's amazing. I don't think anybody would have missed that, but they did. Especially not Roman guards. Right? And so Peter, key point here, says, I know without a doubt. He might have doubted a second ago that this was really happening, but he sees the power of God. He's not doubting anymore, right? Now, here's the second point I want to make. Starting in verse 12. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Probably the same people mentioned in verse 5, praying for him. And so he knocked, verse 13, on the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came and answered the door. When she recognized his voice, she was overjoyed, and she ran back without opening it and exclaiming, Peter is at the door. So she's super excited. This man that she loves so dearly is finally back, freed from prison. But here's the response of those who were just praying moments before. You're out of your mind, they told him, verse 15. She kept insisting it was so, but they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They doubted what they were praying for. They prayed for him to be freed. They prayed for him, but they didn't expect it to happen the way it did. God did more than they ever thought was going to happen. He not only freed them, but freed them when they didn't expect it to happen. And so, I want to ask this question. When you pray, do you pray with doubt? Do you think, hey, please heal them. Please bring this person back to a good portion of health. Or do you pray, hey, heal them better than they ever were. Bring them to a point where they've never been before. Fix what was already a problem. Do you doubt God can save you from your sins? Do you think there is a sin that is too great to be forgiven? I know there's times when you do stuff, when I've done stuff, that I think, man, I'm not getting out of this one. I'm done. That's it. But there's still salvation. There's still that forgiveness. You just got to ask for it. Ask without thinking, there's no way he could forgive me for this. Ask saying, he has already forgiven me. He's already prepared in his mind, I've forgiven you for what you've done. He's already laid out the sacrifice. So what are you waiting for? If there's any way we can assist you, come forward tonight together as we stand and as we sing.